Ukraine security issue.
The South Operation Command informs that the Ukrainian armed forces reached the right bank of the Dnipro River in the Kherson region. The American Institute for the Study of War forecasts that the Ukrainian military will quickly take control of the settlements on the right bank of the Dnipro River, since the Russians are unable to hold them. Before fleeing the liberated Kherson, the enemy blew up the Antonov Bridge to complicate the Ukrainian army's advance. According to Natalia Humenyuk, the head of the press center of the South Defense Forces, the Ukrainian armed forces released more than 3,000 square kilometers in the Kherson and Mykolaiv regions. The president called on the Russian occupiers who remained on the right bank of the Dnipro River in the Kherson region to surrender, because this would be their only chance to stay alive. Zelensky thanked all the soldiers who liberated Kherson and other Ukrainian cities and all the people who were waiting and bringing them back to life.
Спеціальні підрозділи вже у місті. Херсонці чекали. Ніколи не відмовляли.
Special units are already in the city. The residents of Kherson were waiting. They never gave up on Ukraine. I am happy to see how people, despite all the threats, repressions and abuse of the occupiers, kept the Ukrainian flags and believed in Ukraine. The city still needs to be completely liberated from the enemy's presence. Still, the residents of Kherson are already removing Russian symbols from the streets and buildings, and any traces of the occupiers stay in the city. It was the same in all other cities liberated by our defenders. It will be the same in those cities still waiting for our return, said Volodymyr Zelensky. Alexei Danilov, the National Security and Defense Council Secretary, said that the Ukrainian authorities do not plan to freeze military actions to liberate their territories. We can't freeze anything. We are not a cold store. We need to vacate our territories regardless of the weather and season. We cannot allow any stoppage because our people are there. We see how they are suffering. We see how they meet our liberators with tears in their eyes. So the task that the president sets for the Ukrainian armed forces is quite simple and clear. The liberation of all our territories from terrorists, from occupiers who were not invited here. And it will definitely be done. It's only a matter of time, said Alexei Danilov. Yuri Ignat, the spokesman of the Air Force Command, said that Russia could inflict a new massive blow on Ukraine during the G20 summit in Bali, scheduled on November 15th-16th. According to him, Russians like to conduct provocations on such days. Alexander Musienko, head of the Center for Military and Legal Research, expressed his opinion that the occupiers have already fired a large stockpile of missiles while attacking Ukraine. According to him, we can see how they prepare for the next missile strike, as well as the number and intensity of the fire. There are tendencies to reduce missile attacks.
10 жовтня було 83 крилатих ракети.
On October 10th, there were 83 cruise missiles launched. I am not counting the drones and S-300s launched on Mykolaiv and Zaporizhia. Then on October 31st, we saw about 50 launched missiles. And after October 31st, we see that they needed a pause to collect a salvo, at least 50 missiles. What does that mean? They still have missiles, but the trend is not increasing. So they are now desperate for help, primarily from Iran. You see, Iran has announced its hypersonic missile. Where did they get it from? Did the state of Iran itself invent it? Russia paid for the services provided by Iran, which is a threat to the whole world, said Alexander Musienko. Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba called on the Association of Southeast Asian Nations countries to condemn Russian aggression against Ukraine. He stated this at a press conference of the association's summit. We call on our Asian partner countries to condemn Russian aggression against Ukraine because it is not just an attack on a sovereign country. It is also an attack on the United Nations Charter and the principles of territorial integrity, sovereignty and non-use of force, stressed Dmytro Kuleba. The Ministry of Internal Affairs reported that since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine began, the National Police investigators have opened more than 43,000 criminal proceedings on the facts of crimes committed by the Russian military and their accomplices. Also, 34 places where the Russians illegally detained and tortured Ukrainian citizens were found on the territory of the deoccupied districts of six liberated regions, particularly in the liberated Snihurivka in the Mykolaiv region. The bodies of three people were found in the cellar of one of the villages of the Beruslav district in the deoccupied Kherson region. According to the Strategic Communications Department of the Office of the Commander-in-Chief of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, preliminary data showed that the bodies belonged to three local residents who died during the occupation. Their skulls were broken. Dmytro Lyubinets, the Commissioner for Human Rights of the Verkhovna Rada, once again underlined that the whole civilized world supports Ukraine in its struggle against Russia. Currently, our foreign partners are collecting evidence of Russian involvement in the genocide against the Ukrainian nation. I always pay special attention to showing our partners that this is a systematic thing, and the crimes of the Russian military have signs of being systematic. These are not isolated cases, which, for example, we saw in Bucha or Irpin or Vorzel, and about which the whole world learned. The same crimes took place on the territory of the Kharkiv region, in Izum and Balaklia. I spoke with local residents there. They talked about the same torture and rape of civilians and soldiers, about mass graves where both our military and civilians were buried simultaneously, said Dmytro Lyubinets. Meanwhile, Stephanie Tremblay, assistant to the United Nations Secretary General spokesperson, said that Russia does not allow humanitarian missions and United Nations cargoes to the temporarily occupied territories of Ukraine. According to her, humanitarian missions continue to expand their activities and prepare cargo for delivery to areas where active hostilities are taking place, as well as to places that have recently come under the control of Ukraine. Over the past months, the United Nations and partner organizations have delivered six humanitarian convoys to the liberated areas of Kharkiv and Kherson regions. Among the cargoes are water, hygiene products, medicines, and kits for staying in storage facilities in the winter. The last of the convoys is intended for more than 7,500 people in three communities of the Kherson region. The need for humanitarian aid is becoming even more urgent in connection with the energy crisis in Ukraine, said Stephanie Tremblay. At the same time, Dmytro Sakharuk, the executive director of the energy company DTEK, is sure that Russia has completely destroyed the energy system of the Kherson region. He says there are no schedules there and there is no electricity. The national energy company Ukrenergo informed the population about emergency power outages that were additionally implemented for consumers in Kyiv and eight regions of Ukraine on November 12th. The company clarified that this is a temporary and forced step, as it is necessary to balance the energy system of Ukraine after the Russian strikes.